I encourage you to turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. We'll be looking at verses 1 through 20 of Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, starting at verse 1. Then there came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains. Because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains he had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broke in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshiped him. And he cried out with a loud voice and says, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torture me." For he said to him, "Come out of the man, unclean spirit." Then he asked him, "What is your name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." We are many. Also, he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. Now, a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, "Send us to the swine that we might enter them." And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. So those who fed the swine fled, and they told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that had happened. Then they came to Jesus, and they saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who saw it told them how it happened to him who had been demon-possessed and about the swine. Then they began to plead with him to depart from their region. And when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friend. And tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you." And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him. And all marveled. Will you pray with me? Father, you are a companion of all who fear you, and of all those who keep your commandments. It is our desire to fear you. Strengthen us in the keeping of your commandments. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. From a description of the wild sea in Mark chapter 4, Mark takes us to the eastern shore of the Sea of Galilee to a wild man. We move from the man whom the disciples ask, "Who can this be?" to a demon-possessed man. Mark has noted the disciples' experience with an external storm. Now he describes the experience of an internal storm. From the single perspective of the disciples in Mark chapter 4, we get two distinctive perspectives. One from the disciples and one from those in the city and the countryside. Let's begin by looking at verses 2-5, where it says, And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. We see the desperation of a demon-possessed man. This man is in a desperate state. It says he has an unclean spirit. The sense of uncleanness accompanies not only the fact that he has this evil spirit, but also the man's point of departure is from the tombs. This man is in a state for which he didn't plan. This is more than a mental health problem, a mental health issue, but that which is evil does have an impact on our mental health. In this man, we see the raw consequences of living in a state contrary to God and his grace and his mercy and his peace. We don't know how this man got into this state. Some things we understand occur little by little. In Proverbs 24, there's a description of the lazy man. And the lazy man is described this way: a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. So shall your poverty come like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. Some things move you into this a state, and you get there just by a few little things. You do this, and it leads to this, and it leads to this. And for the lazy man, it ends in poverty. In our day, the abuse of alcohol or drugs could put you in a desperate state. According to the Center of Disease Control, they have this thing called Fast Facts, and this comes from 22 February of this year. Cannabis is the most commonly used federal illegal drug in the United States. It's estimated that 52 million people, or about 19% of Americans, used it at least once in 2021. Recent research estimates that approximately 3 in 10 people who use cannabis have what's called cannabis use disorder. The risk of developing cannabis use disorder is even greater for people who began to use it before the age of 18. Cannabis use directly affects the parts of the brain responsible for memory, learning, attention, decision-making, coordination, emotion, and reaction time. Infants, children, and teens who still have developing brains are especially susceptible to the adverse effects of cannabis. The use of cannabis could put you in a desperate state. This man, this demon-possessed man, is in a desperate state, but he's also in a desperate environment. His dwelling is among the tombs and in the mountains. In life, he is consigned to the land of the dead. According to Numbers 19, anyone who failed to purify himself from the pollution of tombs must be cut off from Israel. That which is evil will take you to places you should not go. In Proverbs 7, it describes a young man. So we move from a lazy man to a young man who did not consider the way that he travels. And in Proverbs 7, it's described this way. With her enticing speech, she caused him to yield. With her flattering lips, she seduced him. Immediately he went after her as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till an arrow strikes his liver as a bird hastens to the snare. He did not know it would cost him his life. The young man moves into a desperate environment. This man is in a desperate state. He's living in a desperate environment. This man also has desperate neighbors. It says no one could bind him anymore. The HOA rules could not be enforced. There's no effective tough love coming from the family. No physical force is strong enough. And some of you are old enough to remember an artist, American folk artist, I think Jim Croce, if you remember, back in 1973. He not only had this one particular song, but they actually made a cartoon of it. And it was called Bad, Bad Leroy Brown. Baddest man in the whole town in Chicago. I'm not sure he would survive Chicago today, but at that time, bad, bad Leroy Brown, a desperate man. That's who we have here. He's in a desperate state. He's in a desperate environment. He has desperate neighbors. And he's engaged in desperate actions, crying out and cutting himself with stones. Today, we would call this self-injury. The technical term for cutting is called non-suicidal self-injury. And it's defined as the deliberate self-inflicted destruction of body tissue. One reason some people cut themselves is that they associate cutting with relief from emotional pain. What do you do when you're demon-possessed and you're experiencing all of this pain? You are searching for some type of relief. For this man, that relief comes with taking the stone and cutting himself, hoping that the cutting of himself with the stone will provide some type of relief. It's as if you have a headache, and so you take a hammer and you hit your big toe to relieve the pressure of the headache, but then you have another issue with the toe. And maybe you break off the little pinky to take care of the issue with the toe, which supposedly relieves the headache, but now you have a broken finger. And you can see that all you're doing is causing more pain. But you need something to relieve the pain, and so self-injury is what he does, taking a stone and cutting himself. This demon-possessed man is a desperate man. The chief form of his desperation is his life in opposition to his Creator. He has no peace with God. He has no peace with himself. He has no peace with his neighbor. He has no peace with his environment. We live in a world of desperate people. We see some in desperate environments sleeping in desperate locations. We see some living with the results of previous desperate actions. Life before Christ makes us desperate men and women, girls and boys, mothers and fathers, uncles and aunts. The environments of desperate people are different, but every environment has its desperation. Family, friends, and neighbors may have recognized our desperation and tried to help, but before Christ, such help cannot relieve our desperation. Because of the evil one and our own lust of the flesh, our own lust of our eyes, our own foolish pride, it leads us to desperate acts and desperate actions. For some of us, sin is clearly evident, these desperate acts, and for others, it simply follows later. Some would think that I can perform these desperate acts and they have no implication in the future. But this would be like the lazy man. I perform this little act, a little marijuana here, a little marijuana there, no big deal. A little scotch here and maybe a little bourbon there. And something else there, it'll be okay. The abuse of it. A little watching of this particular show, a little surfing on the internet to look at these pictures has no particular effect. But that's not how evil works. It simply leads you into desperation. When you perform desperate acts for any particular reason, it always leads to a desperate environment. No peace within, no peace with God. We live in a desperate world of desperate people. What can desperate men do with their desperation? They seek some counterfeit means of relief. Maybe that relief is helping the homeless. Maybe that relief is feeding the hungry. Maybe that relief is rescuing animals. Maybe that relief is advocating for some social cause. Maybe that relief is striving to live by some personal moral code. But without Christ, such relief cannot relieve our desperation. It's never meant to be. Cutting yourself with stone does not relieve desperation. Isolating yourself among the tombs would not relieve your desperation. You are in a desperate state. In a desperate environment, among desperate people. But let us continue our consideration of this desperate man. Look at verses 6 through 10. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshiped him, and he cried out with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torture me." For he said to him, "Come out of the man, unclean spirit." Then he asked him, "What is your name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And also he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. We see a desperate man who needs a savior. For this man, every day is the same day, a day of desperation. Some of you will remember the classic movie called Groundhog Day. In the Groundhog Day, a narcissistic, self-centered weatherman finds himself in a time loop on Groundhog Day. This man is caught in a life that he cannot exit. Every day is the same. Now, he tries to do in the beginning some things after he figures out that he's in this loop. He tries to do some things to break the loop, and he's unsuccessful. At some point in the movie, he realizes that this is his life, and he seems to want to change his life in such a way that it makes a difference. And so each day that he has, he's stuck in this loop, so he tries to do something different. Not so with the demon-possessed man. Every day is a desperate day. He is stuck in the tombs. He's stuck with crying out in his misery. He's stuck with cutting himself with stones, maybe in the arm this day, maybe on the legs next day, maybe on the chest a new day. But see, every day is the same day. When you're caught in the loop of desperation, all that you can hope for is another day of desperation. According to verse 5, always night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying out and cutting himself with stone. Maybe every day is a day in which his, at the end of the day, his voice is now hoarse with crying out. What he fears is more of the same. What is tomorrow going to be like? It will be like today. What was yesterday like? Yesterday is like today. What happens when your yesterday, excuse me, your yesterday and today are the same, and all you can hope for is what happened yesterday? Desperation. The demon-possessed man needs a savior, for his salvation is not within his capability. He cannot break the time loop. He is stuck. We may have some sense of the conflict within him. When he, the man, sees Jesus, he ran toward Jesus. Yet it is the voice of the unclean spirit who cries out in fear. This man was powerless in overcoming his own struggles. This man needs a savior. He sees Jesus, but we don't know who sees Jesus, because it is the unclean spirit that speaks out. So we see the man here, and it's the unclean spirit that speaks. As one who has grown up under alcoholism and its abuse, one of the things that alcoholics do, if they remember what they did, is they seem to be disconnected from what they did, as if they don't remember or don't want to remember, or to blame some other thing as a result of their actions. They might recall some things that they did, but there's this disconnect. They are slave to what they have done, and they speak as if by two minds. There's the actions that they have performed, and then some kind of strange reconciliation trying to take place in there. It's as if they are of two minds, and you're not sure who's speaking. Something similar happens with drug addicts, where they make these promises about, I'll do better, hey, I'm kind of done with that. But it's as if they're of two minds, and you're trying to understand who's speaking. Is it the person I know, whether it's the family member, brother, sister, mother, father, a friend? Is it the person that we knew, or is this person that has been overtaken with this alcohol, drug, foolish habit? Who's speaking? Who do we hear? We're not sure. And so we see in this situation, it's the evil spirit, the unclean spirit, who speaks. When the man saw Jesus, he ran toward Jesus, yet it is the voice of the unclean spirit who cries out in fear. Proverbs 25 says, whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. Like a broken down city, this man has no defenses against the unclean spirit. This man needs a savior because his physical need is really a spiritual need. Those in the city and the country recognize his physical needs, but the relocation program didn't work because he's still living in the tombs. Physical restraints didn't work because he broke the chains. Psychological persuasion didn't work because he isn't tame. Those in the city and the country were not equipped to provide for spiritual needs. There's no expectation that the leaders of the city were spiritual leaders. If the religious leaders of the Jews could have provided some help, they would not have entered a Gentile city. The best that the city and the country could do was to leave this man alone. Regarding such a man, the best they could offer is a proverb. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. The best they could do for this man is to leave him alone in the tombs. You know he's there, but you're not looking that way. You're not walking that way. No help is that way. I can't help him. But you can't help him. We tried. We just leave this man alone. He's got some issues that we can't handle. Let's just keep our path this way, neither turning to the left or to the right. This is a desperate man who needs a savior. Only a savior can save this man. If he could describe his state, they would be like the words of the prophet Isaiah. This is if the man could look at himself and describe himself. The best words that could be used to describe him is what Isaiah describes of himself in Isaiah chapter 6. Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. A demon-possessed man needs a savior. Before our encounter with Jesus, we were like the demon-possessed man, a desperate man in need of a savior. Our understanding was darkened, and we were alienated from the life of God. We had no peace with God. We had no peace with ourselves. The Savior reveals himself to the demon-possessed man. Jesus enters a place where no one wanted to go. Jesus penetrates both the ritual wall of uncleanness and the reputation of the demon-possessed man. The demon-possessed man is blind to a Savior until the Savior reveals himself. We don't know if he ever knew that salvation for his desperation was possible. People who have this self-injury are seeking relief. For them, they think this is the only form of relief. For those who are addicted to the alcohol and to drugs, they would think that this is the only form of relief. They would say, I know this works for just a little bit of time. If I can get just a little high, it will provide some relief just for a little time. But then
that just takes them further into desperation. But some relief for a little time. And so it could be that this man had no idea that relief, true relief, lasting relief, permanent relief was even possible, because all he knows is the tombs and the people who would try to tame him and shackle him. And all that he can do is to cry out and to cut himself with stones. So we don't know if he knew that salvation from his desperation was possible. We don't know if his neighbors knew that salvation for this man was possible. Is salvation possible from unclean spirits, addiction to moral depravity, corruption, and all manner of wickedness? We have to ask ourselves that. Is relief possible even for us who may have been and who may be enslaved to all manner of things? It's possible when the Savior reveals himself. He will go to places where others will not go. He can penetrate the walls of sorrow, pain, and uncleanness. No walls are too high for him to climb. No locked doors can bar his entrance. No personal shame can prevent his approach. Jesus says this in John chapter 10. Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. In Christ, he is the door for such relief from all manner of addictions, afflictions. He can and does provide relief. This desperate man has found relief from his desperation. Look at verses 14 and 15. So those who fed the swine fled, and they told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that had happened. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. We see a healed man who is no longer possessed. He's at peace with God, his Savior, the man, Christ Jesus. He's at peace with himself. He's at peace with his neighbors. He's at peace with his environment. Jesus has cast out the unclean spirit, but not the man. John, the Gospel of John chapter 6 says, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. Who would have thought that this man, this desperate man, who's in a desperate environment, would be among those whom the Father will give to the Son? Who could know it? His neighbors did not know it. We have no word from the disciples on if they thought it was possible. But even with our current eyes, we could see the ones who are steeped in all manner of addictions and says, who knew that this would be one whom Jesus would claim? Who knew? The many that we see homeless, mental issues, we walk by, but who knew that this also is one whom has been called. Romans 8 says, Romans 8:11, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Jesus calls desperate men in desperate places, performing desperate actions in hostility to their environment and their neighbors. He calls, granting his Spirit. This is a healed man who is no longer possessed, no more cutting himself with stones, no more living in the tombs, no more crying out. The loop has been broken. Today for him is a new day. Tomorrow is a new day. Yesterday was an old day. He cannot go back to that day. He doesn't want to go back to that day. He's enjoying the new day. He hopes to enjoy tomorrow. All of his tomorrows are now new days. No longer days of desperation, but new days. This man recognized that relief from his spiritual need has affected his psychological and physical needs. Those in the city and in the country recognized who he had been. The man who had been demon-possessed had no peace. But this man is pain-free. It says that nearly every, for those of you who have had medical appointments, and those of us who are older probably have had more than those of you who are younger, but if God grants you length of days, you'll have more medical appointments. So one of the questions you get asked, occasionally I have to go to a VA appointment, and so they always ask this question. Are you experiencing pain today? And of course, if you say yes, the next question is, how would you rate your pain from 0 to 10? So I never know how to answer that, because if you say 0, it's kind of like, well, why are you here today? And if you say 10, it's kind of like, should we call 911? So I actually found a scale that they actually use. So if you say 0, it equals pain-free. If you're rating it anywhere from 1 to 3, it's considered mild pain, nagging or annoying, but doesn't interfere with your daily activities. If you're, say, between 4 and 6, this is moderate pain, interferes with daily activities. If you say 7 to 10, it's severe pain, disabling or unable to carry out normal daily activities. So at your next appointment, know your number. So this man would probably previously be somewhere between a 7 and 10, severe pain. But now this man is pain-free. The man who had been demon-possessed had severe pain, but now this new man sits clothed in his right mind and appears pain-free. We see a healed man who's no longer possessed. We see no fear from this man that he will return to his former state. No fear of returning to the tombs, no fear of chains or shackles, no fear of isolation from friends or neighbors. His past is a testimony of the Lord's compassion. But we have to consider, are we at peace with God through the Lord, the Savior, the man Christ Jesus? If so, you have been justified through faith. I would encourage you to make every effort to conform your calling and election, for if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is from 2 Peter chapter 1. Peter, who is a witness to this new man. Have you found relief from the Savior's healing? Having become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you might be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 7. If you don't have this peace, run to Jesus and worship him. Until you do, you cannot be at peace with God, the Savior, the man, Christ Jesus. You would still be in a state of desperation. You would still be trying to find some other means of relief. You might even have neighbors who are willing to help you to find that relief. But no relief can be found apart from Jesus. Run to Jesus and worship him. He is the Savior that provides relief. Until you do, you have no peace with God. Let's conclude with a look at the actions of a healed man in verses 18 through 20. And when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you." And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. We see a healed man with a new desire. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things become new." What are the healed man's new desires? He wants to be with Jesus. He recognizes a Savior, and he wants just a little bit more of that Savior. He's willing to go wherever Jesus goes. The unclean spirit's desire is to leave the country. The healed man's desire is to leave the country with Jesus. Previously, this demon-possessed man did not want to leave this area. "Hey, just send us over here to the swines. Let us go over there." But they're not interested in leaving this area. This man was willing to leave the area. I mean, if you used to live in the tombs, I would figure you would want to live somewhere else. But it is not the place that he wants to leave, it is who he wants to leave with that's important. The unclean spirit wanted nothing to do with Jesus. The healed man wanted more of Jesus. His initial encounter with Jesus was not enough. Our initial relationship with Christ in salvation is not enough. We want more of Jesus. We want more of this Savior who saves a man in desperation. We want it for ourselves, for our own peace. We want it for our friends and our families and neighbors who we see in desperation and who needs God's peace. We want Jesus for them as well. We will do most anything for them to get them to Jesus. We know that we cannot hear their desperation, but if we could just get them to Jesus, Jesus can save them. Jesus can and will do something that is far beyond us. If he would take us and all the baggage that we have carried for so long and free us from that madness, oh, he can free you from your madness as well. You've relied a little too long on what you think that you can do, and you think that you're okay without Jesus. You're wrong. You're in a state of desperation, and you're kind of like blind to it. It's kind of like you're of two minds. You know inside there is this wildness that's taking place, this misery and all of this hate and all this kind of foolishness. But then you switch and you, on the outside, you're trying to show a different face. You're saying that I'm okay. But you're not okay. You're just speaking with a different mind, as if you are possessed by something that you think that you can control. Not so. You're a desperate man and a desperate woman, a desperate teenager, a desperate little girl, a desperate little boy, a desperate aunt, a desperate uncle, a desperate grandmother, a desperate grandfather. You're just desperate people without Jesus. You're living in a desperate environment, thinking that you can control this environment. Some people care enough about you that they would point you to Jesus. Other people will just simply walk by because you're living in the tombs, in the place of the dead, and you think that's okay. We see a healed man who is ready to serve. The unclean spirit is sent away from the people. The healed man is sent to the people. Jesus says, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. We see a healed man's desire to obey Jesus. And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. This man was created in Christ Jesus for good works. We wouldn't have thought so. We see him in the tombs. We hear him at night. What good will ever come out of that? But we see this man was created for good works. This desperate man, this man who had no peace with God, this man who was filled with all manner of addictions, possessed by evil, this man was created for good works. We see a healed man with a new desire. As healed men and women, what does our desire for Jesus look like? Are we content with our initial encounter with Jesus? Is there still a desire to be with Jesus? Is there still a desire to obey Jesus? Are you ready to serve? How can we reignite a desire for Jesus? How does that take place? What does it look like? Remember the great things the Lord has done for you, is what Jesus tells this man. Maybe that is true for us as well. Remember the great things the Lord has done for us. Jesus tells the man, the Lord has had compassion on you. Maybe we need to remember how the Lord has had compassion on us. Who were we before God extended his compassion on us? Maybe we need to remember such things. And then Jesus tells him, proclaim to the people. I would say proclaim all that Jesus has done. Titus 2:14 says, he gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. This is our Savior Jesus, who heals people, who takes men and women and girls and boys from who are desperate, in a desperate state, in a desperate environment, involved in desperate actions. Jesus has revealed himself. Run to Jesus and worship him. He alone can save. Will you pray with me? Father, we are grateful that for your own good purposes, you have granted to our Savior, your Son, a people. And he saves. He takes upon himself all manner of sin that we have committed, all manner of addiction, all manner of struggles, all manner of things that we would be ashamed to even expose to a friend. He has taken that upon himself. And that was not enough to make us clean. He has made us righteous by granting to us his righteousness. Father, we are grateful for this work that the Savior has done. We could not free ourselves from desperation. We were blind to much of it. We were foolish to seek for such relief in all manner of things that has failed us. It will continue to fail. It has no power to bring relief or peace with you. You have granted a Savior. You have granted the work of your Holy Spirit. You have granted the preaching of your word. You have granted good fellowship among those who call upon your name. Father, grant that we might reignite our desire for Jesus. Cause us to remember that we might best glorify your name and lift up Jesus that others might be drawn to him. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.